You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG. Make some noise!
Hey, this is Alexi Lalas. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
Whoa!
Extra episode!
Nice Gully Squad episode, and we're in studio today.
We're in studio for a Gully Squad episode. That's right. We told Tim, "Hey, yo, we coming in on Friday. We don't care if there's a conference.
That's
or
right.
Whatever happening in this room." And Tim was like, "Well, let me check." And then he's like, "There's something happening." We're like, "Thank God."
Okay,
because we don't want to get in trouble.
But you know what? It's casual Friday, so we're wearing jeans. All right.
But normally we wear corduroys. That's right. But we're doing the Gully Squad episode of the week. Here at Hackensack Meridian Health, stage 17 above Madison Square Garden, where the Knicks are purposefully losing. We're tanking for that Zion, baby.
That's right. It's been an interesting, 10-year strategy to lose so many games.
In 1999, there was a meeting, and somebody said, you know what we should do? There's this kid who isn't born yet. It's going to destroy.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Thank you, James
Dolan.
You know,
sometimes you got to think a couple steps ahead. Sometimes you're going to think years and years and years ahead. The whole marathon's ahead.
So welcome to the show. And like we said, if you don't know what the Gully Squad is, that is these are the people that are directly and emotionally invested in the Cooligan success. So if you want
to
be...
These are people who see what we're doing and they're like, I need to find a way to help them. And some of them have messaged us, are you okay? That's not the help we need.
Exactly. They're like, I know a good therapist.
Yeah, I'm like, this is our Steez, you know what I mean? But some people have decided to help us out. Go to Gully Squad. Go to SoccerCooligans.com/Gully Squad. Or you could just go to SoccerCooligans.com and hit the Join Gully Squad. And you could become a member of Gully Squad. And you could help us make even more content and get to all the places that people are stopping us from getting to.
Exactly. So many walls in front of us.
Nah, we got a lot of ops.
So, yes, if like anything, you want to ask questions on the show, you want to play us in FIFA, you want to have exclusive content to some of the live shows that we do. We post that up in a secret location that may or may not exist.
Yeah, maybe it does. Who knows?
So join Gully Squad. That's the best way to do that. So hello everybody. If this is your first time listening to the show, my name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerreros.
All right, we are your favorite stand-up comedians out here in New York City who host the funniest soccer podcast that you've ever listened to.
That's right. But it's not just that; it's also the gulliest soccer podcast.
That's right.
Hence the Gully Squad.
Hence the Gully Squad. It didn't just come from nowhere.
Yeah, no, one begat the other, folks.
What came first, the Gully or the Gully Squad?
Yeah, I think the chicken, because I'm hungry.
So, all right, so we're excited about today because we're going to talk about CCL, the CONCACAF Champions League, was this week. And only
some people got bodied.
Some people got unbodied.
Oh, that's right.
And Beyonce was like, get me bodied, right? So only one MLS team made it through, but we'll talk about those games a little bit. And today we're excited because we're going to be talking to Peter Carl. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Why do you say Sam's last name?
I'm going with Mathis.
Matthias or who knows?
Also, by the way, yesterday was an anniversary for us.
Not yesterday.
No, like yesteryear. Yesterday, we're recording this on a Friday, right?
Correct.
We're going to put this out this afternoon or tomorrow?
This afternoon.
So then, yesterday was an anniversary for us. It was the anniversary in 2013. You came over my apartment and we did Show Me Your Bits. No, that was the next day when my wife was away. You came over, we did Show Me Your Bits and Offstage Podcast.
Yes.
And we played FIFA. And that begat this relationship, which we now know as the Cooligans, okay?
That's right. That was when I waxed you in FIFA. You were like, hey,
I don't need to say all these details.
I feel like I need to work with this guy in some soccer-related fashion.
I need to find a way to roast him on a weekly basis. But it's also today is another anniversary of ours. Today is the anniversary. 4 years ago in 2015, we went to our first NYCFC match, our first MLS match together.
Okay, so it was the home opener for NYCFC. Yes, Facebook is saying...
This is the only reason I know both of these.
Yeah, you would not remember any of these things.
I didn't write these down in my diary.
You don't remember your wife's birthday.
No, of course, everybody knows her birthday is... Please, someone tell me.
So that's okay. That's cool. Yeah, that's basically Cooligan started. That's when we started talking about, like, we actually both enjoy soccer.
Yeah.
And I think you didn't know that I either played FIFA, played it well.
I learned it. Learned it that day, folks.
And that I actually enjoyed soccer. And I used to go to a bunch of soccer.
I remember saying to you, but like, you're Dominican. And you're like, well, you're Cuban.
Yeah.
And I was like, good point. Good points across the board.
And once we were done with the racism, we were like, hey, we're friends.
Yeah. Tim says, this is such a romantic episode. That's right. It's about love. Also, speaking of love, shouts to Allie and Ashlyn.
Oh, that's right.
Engaged.
Allie Krieger, Ashton Harris.
No, we're on first name basis with both of them.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know if you know that.
Mrs. Krieger and Mrs. Harris.
Yeah.
No, but they did announce in People Magazine.
Which, nonetheless, what a flex.
Come on, that's how I'm gonna announce my engagement. Maybe in Vogue,
in the Banco Popular pamphlet.
Christian gets engaged and announced in Tiger Beat. So that's gonna be dope.
It's a little fold out. You can put it on your wall.
So yes, but congratulations to them. It was an interesting story, right? Because I didn't realize this, but I didn't know that they weren't public about their relationship.
Well, they kind of were on Instagram.
Yeah, it was like...
You and I don't be posting photos of each other poolside.
Yeah, exactly. With blazers and no shirts under. Yeah, I'm like...
I don't post. I love him with a lot of hearts. So we both thought they were both...
I always thought it was like...
This was an open thing. Like,
open thing for a long time. And even, oddly enough, when we... interviewed Allie Krieger.
Yeah.
I feel there was some, I forgot the exact sentence, but there was something she said that inferred that she was seeing someone on a serious level, but was coy about it. And because she was coy, I wasn't like, yo, so what's up with you and Ashlyn?
Forget all these questions. Swiped on who? No, we didn't ask these questions.
Because it was, to us, it was very obvious, but I guess to people who've obviously, been following her on social media for years and years, it wasn't that very, very public, or she obviously didn't talk about it.
But also, we don't ask anyone about the relationships unless you're Jermaine Jones. We deep
because
dive.
Because you make it very, very clear.
I like it to be messy, you know what I mean?
So speaking of Jermaine Jones, indoor soccer, what is
MASL
Arena Soccer League.
He's the Toledo something.
No, the or Ottawa.
Tacoma.
No, it's Ottawa.
No.
Isn't it in Canada?
No,
explain?
It's Tacoma.
Oh, okay. All right. So I thought it was in Ottawa.
You're just putting people in Ottawa. Tacoma Stars.
Okay, good for him. So I'm excited.
Oh, no, you're right. He signs with Ontario.
Ontario or Ottawa?
Ontario.
Okay. All right.
Ontario Fury.
All right. See, I was thinking Ottawa Fury, which is the USL team. That's why I was thinking Ottawa.
Canada's only allowed to name their teams Fury. I don't know if you know that. Something Canadians don't have.
This might be Ontario, California, not Ontario, Canada.
That'd be hilarious if it is.
I'm pretty sure that's the case, because why would he...
Southern California's premier professional indoor soccer club. That's hilarious.
Okay.
Tim put both way off. Yeah, we know Tim.
All right, we figure it out on this show.
But
right.
We know it's the MASL.
Okay, we got that right. And we know it's Jermaine Jones, maybe.
Also, there's no sliding in indoor soccer, so...
Oh, all right. So then, all right, you took out his super move.
Yeah.
All right?
That's like, hey, I just purchased Superman. I'm going to make him live inside of a kryptonite house. Look at me with the nerd reference, huh?
Look, everything.
Are you not impressed?
I feel like Superman is
enough. Are you not entertained?
Is enough of pop culture that is not really nerdy anymore.
Yeah, but it hurts saying it. So
okay, so
we got a lot to cover.
Yeah, we got a lot to cover.
We just got a great interview coming up.
Yes,
two of the guys from American Football.
American Football. They created a documentary called American Football, which we saw at the Kicking and Screening Festival.
It was amazing.
Last summer.
Yeah,
and it's incredible. And it's going to be coming out in a bunch of streaming platforms, iTunes, all that stuff. And you got to watch it. And they'll be here to talk about it. So,
and one of the guys worked for Copa 90. Ooh.
Worked? Doesn't he currently work?
Nah, I think he's done. Well, after that day. I think everyone's done. Right?
I've not heard that he is gone. So.
I think it's just heat. Now.
All right, but well, okay. Before
also, we got to unbox something else.
We got to unbox it. We're
never going to talk about this. Here, while you start that, let's just go over the only team to advance out of MLS in Scotiabank CONCACAF Champions League. I love a good branded up front little Scotiabank. Scotiabank sounds dope. Like you can get something illegal in there. You know what I mean? Like Paul Manafort has an account at Scotiabank. But Scotiabank CONCACAF Champions League, the only team to advance and looked amazing doing it.
Yeah, Sporting Kansas City.
Shouts to Toby again.
Yeah, that's right.
And Toby got shocked. We shouted him out previous. Shouts to you again, Toby.
And he sent us that video of Jeff from United Soccer Coaches, who is like one of the heads of United Soccer Coaches. He was dancing.
Super professional.
At Children's Mercy Park. And it's just great to see, middle-aged white guy dancing.
Just trying. Also, it's not that shocking because you forget, maybe y'all forget, we were at the after party, okay? We've seen all y'all let your hair down. A little bit of dancing in the stands. Not that big of a deal anymore.
Yo, the coaches get loose.
Yeah. Yes, they do. When the conference is done, everyone relaxes.
So, Sporting Kansas City was incredible, right? They played Independiente. Of Panama. And
was a tough team
that bodied Toronto.
Yeah.
But
I know what you're saying. Well, that's just Toronto. Yeah. But we didn't know this was the Toronto.
But Independiente looked like a team that basically looked like they were playing in a high altitude, right? Where like the teams that go and play in Colorado by the second half, they were just like, I cannot keep up.
Well, Panama's not that big of a country, so this is legitimately the most travel they've ever done, probably for a soccer game.
Okay, sure.
And here's the other thing, right? Independiente, this is probably their most important competition. This for them is more important than their domestic league, I'm assuming. I don't know.
Okay.
If you're Independiente fan, hit us up and let us know how terrible we are. But this is probably their most important competition. They were putting it all on the line for this.
Yeah.
This is essentially a beginning of the season / preseason tournament for MLS teams, right?
Sure.
So Sporting Kansas City came to play.
Yeah.
In a way that I did not expect.
Well, they got the goal away, and after that, they got the penalty score from Elias Sanchez. But this game, they looked so good that it was insane that they even lost the first leg.
They looked so good that we're like, just give them the MLS Cup. You know what I mean?
They did look good.
Nemeth is on another level when it comes to these competitions.
I mean,
maybe he's just bored.
Since he's been back, he's been pretty incredible. All right, so we'll get back to that in a second. But we have a box here that we are.
By the way, and we've said this before. If you want us to mention you on the podcast, send us gifts. This box is from the Premier League.
This box is from the Premier League on NBCSN. They sent it. Look at it. It's right here. If you're watching the video of this,
NBC Sports Network # MyPL Morning.
So thank you. This is incredibly kind. Also, we do not talk about the Premier League.
No, and by the way, we only open gifts that are in pizza boxes. This is kind of like a deep dish pizza box, a little bit bigger. So we'll allow it.
So, but thank you.
We do talk Premier League from time to time. I'm a big Arsenal fan. You're a big Everton fan.
You were about to say Tottenham, bro.
I was about to fight you.
How are we going to make this work? Okay.
Okay, let's start off with they misspelled my name. They went with Alex Guerrero. Dear Alex, all rise for # My Premier League Mornings at MyPL Morning. The second half of the season is underway, and from the title race to the battle for the Premier League survival, it's shaping up to be an unforgettable finale for the 2018-2019 campaign. As a lover of the beautiful game in the United States, we know the lengths you go through to join us every weekend morning. Oops. Watching us on NBC and NBC Sports Network. To say thanks and prepare for the rest of the season, we'd like to present you with a # MyPL Morning Success Kit. Inside, you'll find all the essentials you get to get you game ready for match day, from an alarm clock to a freshly roasted coffee beans. We love your Premier League passion, and as a roast, so roast up a cup of Joe and share a photo with # MyPL. Join the company. All right.
All right. Well, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, we will roast you. Trust me.
They sent this.
They got a mug.
This is a legit old school alarm clock.
This is great because in that letter was the first time you've seen the name Alex and successful.
Unless it was like my teachers for PTA mornings. Alexis will never be successful. This is beautiful. Look, they sent
coffee. Look at this, an alarm clock.
Look at this.
And a scarf.
You want to hold the other side of this up?
Sure.
Right? We got my hashtag my PL.
No, it's not upside down.
But then we flip it over here. We got Premier League on the other side.
All right.
Not bad.
I think I might start watching this. I might start watching this Premier League.
How about this? A little American flag.
Okay.
All right. Look at this. It's beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hashtag my PL mornings. All right. I was looking for an Arsenal jersey sign, but whatever. This is good enough.
You know, he wanted the Black Panther Aubameyang mask.
Oh, that would have been great.
That would have been really nice.
So guys, wake up on Saturday mornings.
Yeah.
You know, and hashtag my PL morning.
Exactly. Stop watching cartoons. You're adults. watch some football. Okay.
Up right here. Look at this. We'll give you top billing.
All right.
You sent us gifts.
All right. That might be too tall. Might even see our faces.
Can't even see you. Leave right there.
All right, cool. So again, thank you for that. All right. Let's a couple of the CCL matches. All right. So supporting Kansas City, they were that incredible and that impressive, right? But we have to give a shout out to the goalkeeper for
Scott Sterling. Yeah,
Scott Sterling.
The dude took a masher off of it. I've been kicked with the ball. Like, I've been hit with the ball after it's been kicked.
Okay.
And it hurts. Remember we were talking about that time we were at that youth academy and the guy was trying to train the young girl on how to kick the ball. And he was like, you got to do this with your leg to put power behind it. And then he did it and it went about 20 yards and hit the padded wall. And it legit sounded like a truck ran into that padded wall. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, I would never want to be a keeper. This guy took the brunt of that from a much closer position directly off his face. And you know what he did after that? He kept going.
Yes. Not really. He was on the ground for.
But what I mean, he stayed in the game.
He did stay in the game, which was impressive. Who was it? It was Johnny Russell he's not like, you know, a guy who taps the ball.
No, this isn't a kid from the academy. Johnny Russell's like, if I'm going to pass to you, I'm going to do it with all my might. So you can only imagine how he tried to score.
It was a somewhat frustrating game because that keeper was incredible, but they hit the post so many times. Like throughout the first, 70 minutes, you really felt like Sporting Kansas City may not actually get this goal. They may not be able to at least tie it. They were so dominant on the ball. Independiente, it was really crazy that they lost the first leg, like I said before, because they looked like how MLS teams used to look playing against Liga MX teams.
Right.
Where there was nothing they could do. They have no real, they weren't going to get the ball.
It's like it always feels like they were missing a gear.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's always to me been a sign of the depth. Like MLS teams just don't have the depth to play these types of competitions.
Exactly. And especially the time of year that they're playing them. That was like my main concern. I'm like, yo, are they really going to lose this game? Like that, it would just be insane. But the keeper was surreal. And you give him all the credit in the world.
And the announcers were like, he's willing them to not lose. Like, the announcers are giving him all the credit in the world. But yo, Sporting Kansas City still got him.
At least one MLS team did it, right? And the other team that was fairly close that we did not think would have a real chance were the New York Red Bulls.
New York Red Bulls. Straight intellectual. Cover your ears.
No, it's actually, we think of it as is straight, it's the way it's spelled, but it's Senorita, right? And after I saw it reminded me, I don't know what
Senorita intellectual.
Yes. Senorita intellectual, which is, I don't know if this is where she gets it from, but this is a lyric from a Calle 13 song.
Okay.
Which is one of my favorite artists ever.
Well, shouts to her and her brother. They're big fans of ours.
That's
and they're
right.
Also big fans of the Rebels. And we're about to talk about the Rebels.
And her bae, as she always says. Her bae is also a big fan of,
okay.
Of the show.
Whole gang.
He had a Gullier shirt, I think, in France or London or something. They were stuck on the train.
That's right. They posted.
So shouts to you. So,
yeah.
But
the Rebels came storming back and they were like, yo, we making this even. And then the other team's like, all right, we're going to relax till 70th. But when we get to the 70th, we're going to pop this bad boy in. Fit,
yeah,
and we're just gonna show everybody what we're about.
I don't drive sticks, so I don't even know what that means.
It's kind of like, you know what? I'm not gonna do it.
So
he hit the sport button. Does that make sense to you?
Okay, cool. All right, my from hybrid, you know,
the battery shut off and the gas is being used too much to go on.
Now it all makes sense, you know, much more economical.
Yeah, that's right. You're a tech nerd. Sorry, he hit crazy mode in his Tesla, and here we are. I mean, here's the thing about the Rebels. The Rebels always look like they can play with anybody.
Yes.
And it's because they bring what a lot of these Liga MX teams bring, which is a system. system. Everyone knows where everyone's supposed to be. I don't always feel that way about watching teams like Atlanta or Sporting Kansas City in these competitions.
Sure.
That everyone just kind of knows. Like, there's this sort of blind faith of, like, I don't even have to look that way. If I'm here and that guy's there and I happen to pass it to this area, I know Royer's going to be there. I know Long's going to be there. I know Velo's going to be there. You know what I mean? The Rebels bring that. They have a system they can trust.
The problem when they play in these competitions is that most of the team, I don't know how much research the teams do per se for these teams, but they go, hey, Bradley Wright Phillips, that's the guy. We got to like completely eliminate. And that's basically what happened in the whole Champions League. I don't even think he scored a goal in the I could be wrong. Oh, wait. Did he score even against Atletico Pantoja? I don't even know if he scored against.
Here's the thing they do. They do the MLS playoffs thing, which is take him out. Yeah. And if there's no one that is specifically built to score, then maybe they can't score.
Yeah. And he looks more frustrated than he does in MLS games.
But here's the other thing. I don't think this system works with two forwards. So, like, you just need him to do well.
Okay, sure. All right, yeah. I mean, if you're putting a lot of responsibility on him or whatever. So,
well, yeah, I mean, you out here heel tapping. I mean, you got to be able to do it, right?
He got the assist for the second goal when they tied it up. But
he just put it back in position.
Watching that game, it was just, like, so frustrating because It was a tale. It's not even a tale of two halves. But once they scored that second goal, Santos were just like, all right, good. Oh, you guys have fun. All right, good. That was cute. What you did.
Oh, you thought this was gonna be easy. All right, but it does. It seems like the team swapped jerseys at the half because Rebels came out to play in the first half.
Yeah.
And then Santos came out swinging.
Sure.
It's Rocky.
And then they got four goals in 10 minutes.
In 10 minutes. And that last one.
So that.
From your own half.
It's bad. I mean, you look.
From your own half. My guy didn't even hit the D in the middle. From your own half.
We're not used to seeing Robles be like embarrassed.
No. Even the third goal where it kind of trickled in past him.
Yeah.
And he kind of felt, it looked like me goalkeeping. And that's not a good
it's
thing.
It's not a good sign.
It's not a good thing. If at any point. Someone on your favorite team is compared to Alexis. Your team is fucking up.
Things are falling apart. Yeah.
Maybe that guy shouldn't be eating a sandwich out there. It's the only time.
Unfortunate. I don't know what happened. I think it was like once they gave up the first goal, they capitulated. I don't know to use a
Premier League word. Right?
Premier League word. So they, it was like
they bottled it.
It was just like, why is happening? It was just like it was that that GIF of the guy screaming at the eye. What is happening?
Yeah,
it made no sense to me. I'm like, they made two subs. I forgot who they got.
But it was also that thing of like, you know, when you start to go down and you push forward and you try to get that other goal, you leave yourself open.
Yeah, but But they didn't need that other goal. They didn't need that.
But that's what happened on that fourth one.
Oh, sure.
Robles
sure.
Way off his line, and he's like, I mean, what is this? Carly Lloyd out there? She's not going to bang. Taken out.
But in the second half, they couldn't pass the ball to each other. They couldn't get any good touch. Like it seemed like everyone was nervous. Everyone was uncomfortable. And the complete opposite of what happened with Sporting Kansas City, where right. Like I know that there's a big stark difference between Independiente and Santos, but still, you would think that they would still know how to play soccer, right? And like the fundamentals don't go anywhere. But that was not the case. So very, very unfortunate. I thought the Red Bulls, especially once they tied it, I thought they would be able to do something. I didn't think they would. Even if they would lose, you can't lose like that.
Yeah, that's a tough way to lose, especially because you're just like, watch the tape until the 70th minute, and you're like, yo, I think we got this. And if you were to just watch from the 7th minute on, you're like, what a bloodbath. You know what I mean? It's two different teams.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like usually the comeback story, it doesn't end that way.
It's like, you know the music that they play on Rocky when they're winning?
Imagine
that was played by someone who didn't know how to play the instruments. That's what the montage music would have sounded like for 70th minute on. And then you go to Atlanta, who actually looked pretty good against Monterrey.
Yeah.
But Monterrey was like, all right, you got a goal. I mean, I'm not going to let you get any more than that.
Yeah, I'll give them that. Monterrey, incredibly just, I mean, they're an amazing team. I mean, they're just like,
they're great in Liga MX.
Yeah.
They're going to be great in CONCACAF Champions
League. Like if Atlanta maybe played Tigres, maybe there's like a better chance.
How about if Atlanta played that first game? I think then maybe, you know what I mean? I think maybe you get a better chance.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
I think that was the problem. Yeah. Why are you guys bringing hammocks out here?
Why didn't they fly to Monterey? It would have been a good idea if they did that.
Yeah, DeBauer's like, wait, edibles before the game? That doesn't seem like a good idea at all. Yeah.
So, but they look, in the second leg, at least they were, they did show that grit and a little bit more of that passion, and they weren't just like embarrassed by Monterrey like they were.
No, and they showed they gave themselves a little bit of respect. And shouts to Monterrey for leaving that nice message on the board.
That's right. Yeah.
You don't see that often.
Yeah, I guess not, right? In English.
You see it often? They didn't. I don't know.
Well, you know what? I'll say this.
Of course, somebody works who knows how to speak English. It's on 1955.
Imagine that.
Okay.
I mean, they would have known how to read it.
Muchas gracias.
They would have plenty of Spanish speakers. But the you know what? We're used to seeing it in the World Cup. Remember Japan? Every time they...
They would leave a nice note.
They would leave a nice note. They would clean the locker room.
While Japanese. That's like a very Japanese thing. You know, they clean up after concerts and shit.
Yeah.
Wu-Tang said that they did a concert, and I think I'm wearing a Wu-Tang logo. Yeah. And so for some reason, the concert promoter put tambourines out on the seats, and he was like, Wu-Tang was like, we don't need that. Like, I remember Wu-Tang's like, nobody needs tambourines at a concert. He said when there was 400 seats, 400 tambourines.
Unless it's like a Janis Joplin concert. Yeah, then like, maybe
at what point are we all going to get jazzy out here? We're not doing Kumbaya. We're going to do your best protect your neck 7 times. So they said there were 400 seats, 400 tambourines. When the concert left, 400 tambourines were still there.
That's insane.
That would not happen in America. I will be walking out with Wu-Tang specific tambourine.
With like 12 of them.
Yeah, are you kidding me? On eBay, be lit. Of course these are all autographed. I wrote inspect the deck on all of these.
Oh, man. Yeah, autographed by Martin Shkreli.
He's the owner. He owns the Wu. If not, we're just Tang, and that's a company.
From prison. We sent them to prison. He autographed them, and I sent them to you.
We were talking about soccer.
Yes, we were. The game was entertaining, and there was the goal from Joseph Martinez.
The pass from Nagby.
Nagby was great.
How do you even see him? I wouldn't do that in FIFA. Never mind in a game.
The Atlanta United fans frustrated that the Boer system is not working out and all this other stuff. But you're seeing just like how many games have they actually played? This is what their fifth or sixth game. So we're seeing that the chemistry is building, right? And that pass is an example of that.
No, I don't think so. I think what we're seeing is, you never know who's going to show up if you're an Atlanta fan. If you're an Atlanta United fan, you don't know who's showing up.
Also, they get no credit. They get no credit for that goal.
They do, but all this is another flip-flop. It's like, yo, they look terrible, they look amazing. They look terrible, they look amazing. They look great in this game.
Okay.
The previous game, they look disgusting. when they play in MLS, they look amazing, they look terrible. They look amazing, they look terrible. You never know what's going to happen. For the last 2 years, you kind of knew what was going to happen when you walked in to the Mercedes-Benz. If it's for an Atlanta Falcons game, no one's going to be there. That's what you knew. If it's in Atlanta United,
everyone is there.
Everyone's there. Also, Chick-fil-A is closed. I don't know why y'all did that. Why y'all put Chick-fil-A if they don't open on Sunday for American football? Doesn't make any sense. All right. But if you're an Atlanta United fan, you knew you were going to walk in. You knew you were going to see a team that knew how to play well. You have no clue what's happening now.
Sure.
Frank DeBauer is like, we're figuring it out. All right. We've got two sides. I'm flipping the coin. We either play terrible or great.
I think at the very least,
you think this is a sign of what's to come.
Yes, I do. They played right, with you, some. Look, if you, they didn't let Monterrey score. You got to give them some credit for that. Especially,
I will also say Monterrey wasn't like really trying to score. They were trying to stop Atlanta from scoring more.
Sure. Well,
they were Mourinho-ing.
They did that. They did that quite well.
Speaking of the Premier League, thank you once again. And by the way, if these beans are ass, I'm gonna tell you, all right? Because I'm gonna get these joints ground.
Oh, you said that. You sent us ass beans. Yeah. No, thank you.
We don't want no ass beans. I'm being dead ass Premier League. You getting a DM? Don't be sending me no bullshit ass beans. It's already ground though. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you. Okay.
This tomorrow.
So, last game, Houston welcome Tigres.
By the way, for everyone that's called beans, if you didn't know, then just send me like refried beans. Yo, these refried beans are ass.
No, Houston went over to play.
Why are we even talking about
Tigres?
This?
They lost 1-0. I mean, yeah, there's not. They tried their best, but it was going to be. They were down, I believe, 2-0 aggregate going into that second leg, and Tigres were just Tigres, and they're just a better team.
They're just great.
We just see this was the majority of the MLS teams that were playing in these CCL matches, that it was outside of Sporting Kansas City, you just kind of felt like, Mexico still is just better, and yeah. that's all we had.
Yo, shouts to Tommy McNamara for getting all of them starts.
In the Champions League. He's too good for MLS, all right? He's all right. done with that
He's
league.
He's like, I need another
I
competition.
Need something a little bit better, okay? Yeah. UEFA Champions League, you next.
Yeah. Send me a team that's going to write a nice message on the whiteboard. I'm done with MLS.
So, but it was, he missed a couple of chances, you know, rough out of Tommy. You know, he had a couple of, like, he had two good chances that he missed.
He's got to get one of them curlers from the center.
In the Champions League.
Could you imagine that?
Oh my God, it would have been amazing. Next year.
Everyone just takes out a slice and folds it in his honor. Could you imagine that?
I can imagine it, Alexis.
The cheerleaders come out wearing Tim's with the tongue folded down.
In Houston?
In Houston. Wild, sweaty feet, but whatever. It's out of respect for Tommy and where he's from. It's our culture.
Exactly.
Okay?
All right. Stop appropriating your cheerleaders. Anyway.
Has anyone ever yelled that? Stop appropriating our culture, cheerleaders.
I know you make $13 for this game, but you better stop stealing our culture.
By the way, this is the theme of Bring It On 7.
Anyway, let's take a quick break, and then let's bring on our guests because we're excited to talk about them.
That's right. We got Peter Carl and a dude whose last name we can't pronounce just yet.
We will figure it out when we get confirmation.
But don't you worry. He'll say it, and then Christian and I are going to fuck it up.
We'll be back with Peter, Carl, and Sam.
Something.
Sam M.
I'm going with Matthias.
After, who knows? We'll figure it out.
You know what? Sam Marcos. All right, you're Latino now. Done. We're not doing this.
So we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, before we get to our interview, we want to mention who's sponsoring the show today. It's us.
You. It's all of us
together. Gully Squad. Make sure you join Gully Squad if you want to be a part of that super secret Facebook group that
may or may not exist.
Nobody knows.
I mean, maybe I post, maybe I don't. Maybe funny stuff happens and then you're missing it.
Also, if you want to, for a bunch of fun stuff, you want to play some FIFA. Also, if we're going to be giving away a little welcome gift to all the Gully Squad members.
Well, we got a Gully Squad gift coming out, so you want that, you gotta join.
You gotta join before the end of the month, so make sure you do that. Go to soccercooligans.com/gully squad. You can support the show, you can ask questions.
So go to soccercooligans.com/gully squad, hit join, give us as much as you possibly can. Forget about your kids' braces, you know what I mean? They don't need them.
I
moved to England, you know what I mean? That'd be all right. But honestly, thank you for all the people who've joined. And if you want to join, go to soccercooligans.com/gully squad. You guys are the best. Yeah, baby, we're back!
All right, this is exciting, all right? We're here with the two people.
What? I was going to say, I wanted to say his name. I'm going to fuck up your name.
We're here with documentarians, the stars of American football.
American football.
Why did you say the first part weird?
Because the whole thing should be in Spanish. Football Americano.
American is not a Spanish word.
It's Spanglish, though, and that's how I grew up. So don't disrespect my culture out here.
But we cannot stress enough how good the movie is. We saw it last summer.
I wanted to hate it. I'm not going to lie to you. I wanted to hate it. I'm like, these guys get to travel around South America and go to a World Cup. Well, la-dee-da. And then I watched it. I'm like, yo, that's pretty dope.
Yeah.
Although, there was one thing that I found a little disrespectful, and I'll talk about
it. All right, we'll save it.
We'll talk about it. Everybody wait for that.
We're going to have the gotcha moment.
That's why we bring you on this podcast.
But we are here. Introduce our guest. One guest at the very least.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, he's great. You know him. Peter Carl, everybody. And then to his right. We have Sam.
Matthias.
We got it.
That's a good effort, though. Most people don't get it that close.
It's a curveball.
If you changed it to Marcos, though, it would give us a little bit more credibility.
Yeah. I'm actually okay with that. We should start that trend. Right
tell
now.
People you're Argentinian. They can't say it. Everyone there's
think
blonde.
I'm better at football. Anyway, so
put a little tilde over the vowels. That's it. You're good to go.
All of a sudden, they're like, he's so creative in the midfield.
When we were traveling, I would tell people my first name was Samuel because I thought it was easier for people to pronounce.
Yeah.
They would like make fun of me for that. that, but I'm like, yo, I'm just trying to.
As would
I. No.
As well, I guess I deserve it. Looking back.
Thank God
it,
you didn't do a trip through Asia. That would have gotten real, real. Sam, what's your name? Don't do it.
So let's talk about the film real quick. So we saw the film last. It was screened at Kicking and Screening,
right?
And the basic sort of synopsis: you guys travel. You end up at the World Cup in 2006, right? In Brazil,
14.
14. What am I thinking?
Jesus, hey, man.
you guys were children.
Yeah, these guys are 75 years old.
Literally. Sorry, I don't know why I had that in my head.
Escorted by our mothers.
Yeah. The World Cup.
So the whole trip around the 94 World Cup, you guys filmed.
It took us this long to make the film.
Editing was...
Yeah, the technology is really caught up to us.
So, but this was the World Cup, U.S. against Belgium, and Tim Howard, the Secretary of Defense, whole thing.
The World Cup in Brazil.
The World Cup in Brazil. So
you guys did a trip from California through Central America, South America, to end up there.
Yes.
But I remember this film because I remember the it wasn't a GoFundMe. It was Kickstarter?
Indiegogo.
Indiegogo.
Yes.
One of the three. All right.
One of those.
You guys could have just said yes. So you guys were doing, like, I remember on social media, a lot of people were posting you guys, like, videos and stuff asking for, like, donations.
Money. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, so that was, like, a big thing. You knew you wanted to do this whole trip?
Yeah. We had the whole thing plotted out. We basically had a number that we wanted to hit. The goal was never to really frame it like help fund our boys' trip to the World Cup. You know, granted, we really wanted to go to the fucking World Cup. It was really about, you know, what our mission was, to go to these places and turn the cameras on all the places we went to. But we did have to do some pretty egregious things to get money.
Yeah.
Sam.
All right. You look like you're about to cry.
I just remembered.
That. It was very stressful.
What did Sam
that
do?
Month. So,
what'd you make Sam do?
So Samuel, tell us what happened.
This idea kind of evolved. We were like, all right, we're doing this, the Indiegogo campaign. Let's do these, like, sub goals. So if, like, in a given week we get X thousands of dollars, one of us will do something crazy and, like, post it online. So it was, like, really, really snowy in Boston where I was living at the time. So I was like, all right, I'll go outside and, like, juggle a ball in a Speedo for, like, 2 minutes because it's, like, super cold, super snowy.
Right.
But,
tundra
of course,
weather.
Like, we hit the goal and then it, like, warms up and there's, like, no snow on the ground. So Pete's like, why don't you just – we just go, like, film you around Boston, like, juggling in a Speedo. And I was like, that's a terrible idea, but, like, all right, I'm game. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So we went to, like, all these landmarks and I just, like, juggled in front of, like, Paul Revere's house, like, Copley Square, like, TD Garden.
So let's,
and, like,
cover
all
some of the things that have happened near Paul Revere's house. What if I land, two if I see Saved America in the beginning, and then you in a Speedo juggling in the winter?
It was pretty disgusting. Just, I'm not the most in shape person. I wasn't 5 years ago either. So it was aggressive. Got a lot of weird looks.
Did you have the Speedo already, or did you need to go acquire one?
I had to go buy one.
Oh. Okay, I was going to say, of course you won't.
It's an investment.
Yeah.
I went unscathed in this whole challenge thing.
Yeah.
Our other producer had to get cornrows.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Okay. Yeah, we assume he is white.
Very much.
His name is Petar Majarec. He's like a Serbian. So
Serbian isn't white. Baltic don't count.
He's not just white. He's like really.
Yeah. Baltics go through some stuff out there, bro. You're one of us, just so you know. You get a pass, bro.
Amazing.
If Kosovo is anywhere in your history, you get a pass as well.
One thing I enjoyed about the film was, especially being Latino and the fact that I think to Alexis mentioned some skepticism about the movie. My skepticism was in the beginning. I'm like, what's these four white guys gonna do in the Latin American country?
Really thought it was gonna be like, oh wow, they have buildings everywhere.
But
that's what I thought at the beginning of the movie. I was like, oh, okay, here we go. But it was great.
It was an interesting look into you guys learning about different cultures and obviously treating it with the utmost respect and being fascinated by it. But I got to learn about these particular cultures. I mean, you went to, if I remember, Costa Rica, Panama? Were you in Panama? No.
Yeah. Colombia.
Ecuador. Can you just say?
So we went to all the countries that had actually qualified for that World Cup, except for Honduras.
Yeah.
Got it.
Sorry about Honduras.
All right, yeah.
But yeah, so it was Mexico, Costa Rica, Colombia, Ecuador, Chile, Argentina, Uruguay, and then Brazil.
And my particular favorite, I don't I'm not spoiling anything, I think, per se, but you guys played soccer, blind soccer.
Yeah.
This was in Colombia?
No, Argentina. Yeah,
in Bogota.
Yeah. So this was, I mean, honestly, the most emotional part. I mean, for me watching it, I was like, I was near tears. I was really, because it was, you sort of realize how, like, we're disconnected from the sport so much in the U.S. because obviously it's not the most popular. It's not as super covered.
Or what we try to do is a lot of, like, top-level stuff. We try to do everything that's, at, like, the top of the crust. You don't get down to the nitty-gritty of soccer in this country that often.
Yeah.
You guys got into this very niche thing that was oh, man, soccer means so much to someone who's blind.
It's in Colombia, especially. And what's wild about that is that I lived in Bogota for a whole year down the street from that park and didn't even know that existed.
Whoa.
Wow. And then we went there and our main goal in Colombia was to go to Cali and do a story on that Team America to Cali.
Yeah.
And we were there. We're like, we're here for a few, like a week. Like,
I think it was a week. Yeah.
And Sam just found it like a footnote in a Guardian article about these guys who play soccer in a hockey court in the park. I'm like, I know that park.
Yeah.
We go there. We didn't even, I mean, we didn't know how to get a hold of him, really.
We just showed up in the Guardian article, and we were like, hey, this is what we're doing. Can we film this and profile what you guys are doing? They were like, yeah, that's super cool. They were super on board, and it was just
so on board.
Super inspiring, to be honest. You don't really expect to see something like that or come
Not
across
at all.
Something like that. And they were just so welcoming and immediately understood what we were trying to do.
Is there like a caretaker? Is it a league? Is it something where people can look it up now? Or if any of our fans go watch the film, is there some way that they can maybe donate to the blind?
I mean, they would love that. And I know you can look them up by their name. It's called Football Ciego de Cundinamarca, which is like
very nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're in touch with them actually a lot, and maybe I can like have him send me something and I can send it to you guys.
Yeah, something at least share. Yeah.
But like he hit me up, his son. So
yeah, the main guy in the episodes, this guy, Luis, his son, two of his sons work with the team. One of them is a goalkeeper. It's the only player in a blind football team who can be cited. And then his
seems
other son
like
is
an
their
advantage.
Coach.
Yeah. It is. I gotta be honest, he's a little disrespectful. Yeah.
But then the other son is a coach on the team. So
yeah,
that's dope. And I guess they saw the film.
They have seen the film. The sons have certainly seen the film. I think
that's dope.
We sent them a free download code. So I'm sure, I hope that the whole team at least can, watch it with them, listen to it. Cause, I mean,
what was it like actually playing? I know you talked about it a little bit, but what do you remember about that moment? Cause watching you play and seeing how stressed and difficult and like, so it was one of those things where I know like able-bodied people and people who are handicapped or something where the dynamic was completely flipped, where you were just like woe is me to some degree.
Yeah. But also like
it's terrifying.
We're not revealing too much, but some of those blind players are very good at being playing the game blind.
Yeah.
You, on the other hand, were a fish out of water.
Oh, no. I mean, we're not good without blind. Yeah. So, I mean,
imagine you were amazing blind. Imagine that's what it took.
That would have been
just
a twist.
Imagine dribbling through everyone.
On them like, oh.
No, this guy's just out here wilding.
Yeah, he just hustled. Why are you hustling blind people, guy?
Sam's got money tucked between his fingers. He's taking bets.
They didn't know what's coming. They didn't see it.
Honestly, we would just
for the trip.
Yeah.
We would probably still be filming that documentary. I just found my life's passion.
You found your
and now I'm just taking on like the USL as a blindfolded player. But no, it was completely disorienting, completely, like frightening, honestly, not knowing when you're going to collide with somebody, not knowing where the hell the ball is. And I mean, also the goalies direct the players in Spanish and we're kind of like, I think he means this. Da, 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 da.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, and then you have to say the word boy. It's like the rule that to know when someone's going to attack the ball. So you're really just not like colliding with each other all the time. But everybody's just saying boy all the time.
You have no idea where anything is.
Yeah.
Just constantly hearing it. And it's getting closer and closer. And you're like, oh, shit. I got to try and tackle, dribble by someone, but I don't know where the goal is.
And I'm sure you don't want to hurt anybody either.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Then we ended up getting hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, running into the fence. And
that was a hilarious clip, though.
Pete has quite a collision.
That main guy, Luis, he was on a mission. He called it the bicicleta, but it's kind of like a... a rainbow kick.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he wanted to just nail me with this. Yeah. And he finally got it in position, and he was like, and it's in the film, like, he's like, Peter? I'm like, yeah. And he just does the bicycle and he runs around me, and I could just feel it, and I didn't know really what happened, and the camera guy is like, dude, you just got so schooled. And I'm like, I felt it. Yeah. I felt like that happened.
It was pretty epic.
Luis was, you know, peacocking after that.
As he should.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned, but you went to a couple different countries. I'm half Uruguayan. And this is what I found disrespectful. It was like 12 seconds. It's just you guys relaxing. And one of you says, you know, Uruguay's kind of a boring country. I'm like, yo! You think you have more than that?
Is this the beef?
Cavani! Yes, it's the beef. Cavani, Luis Suarez, Diego Loredo.
Dude, that was one of our favorite places, yeah. I think. Wait, I was going to ask you, your Hispanic like origins are Colombian and Uruguayan?
No, Cuban and Uruguayan. But I only grew up with my Cuban side. So when I speak Spanish, I'm a Cuban.
Super Cuban. Yeah. Okay.
It's just a mess, Hispanic.
Yeah. My dad left when he was young, so we like to consider him Puerto Rican.
I don't know what that means. That's
I think you know exactly what that means.
I'm Dominican. Both my parents are from Dominican Republic. So I didn't grow up watching the game.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. Very baseball, very Yankees growing up, but I found the game. Because of Newark. I grew up in Newark.
Yeah. Right. Cool. Baseball, my game growing up too. This guy helped me find the game actually in college. So him and my brother.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Can't stand baseball now. But Uruguay was a fun place.
We actually really loved it. Yeah. I think when we were there though, the season was winding down and like winter was kind of setting in. So it was a little sleepier than when it normally is in Montevideo, I think. Yeah. But like we really loved it. We dug the vibe. The food was great. The people were super cool.
Chivitos are awesome.
Yeah, so good. Are awesome.
Yeah.
There's a great Chivito spot in the city if you guys want to know.
I'd have to check that out.
Yeah. It might be lunch.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, they eat somewhere.
There's a great outtake from Uruguay that didn't make the film. Regarding food.
Oh, sure. So, we'd love to know. Alexis would love to know.
Yeah. Is this just tons of grilled meat?
No, it's terrible. It involves Burger King.
Oh,
we were at the stadium that the U.S. won their first ever World Cup match. It's
Centenario?
No, the Parque Central. Where Nacional plays.
Yeah, okay.
And it was right before we were going to Brazil for the start of the World Cup. And we were like, you know, we should do an offering to the soccer gods. To bless us in Brazil. So we got the most American thing we could find, which was a Burger King burger. And we dug a hole.
Whopper, to be specific.
Yeah. It was a Whopper.
Very nice. All right, good. I was going to ask, so thank you.
I legitimately was wondering. I'm like, they got baconators down there?
And we buried it outside the stadium.
Yeah. And then we proceeded to watch, the most epic game of football ever. There were, I think 4 red cards. It went into extra time. And
a low number of red cards.
Yeah. That is the Uruguayan league, right?
I think it ended, 3-3. There were, two.
Is that how many players were left?
Last-minute goals. Yeah. It was crazy. I think the tying goal before penalties was, an overhead bicycle kick, too.
Yeah, a couple years ago, the game was interrupted by cows. So, Uruguayan league. Yeah.
But we decided not to put that in the film because, you know, the climbing around the Brazilian World Cup was very much about you know, how can you pay all this money to host a World Cup? Meanwhile, half of our country is starving and malnourished. And we were this is pretty distasteful.
Okay. Yeah. We'll just take it.
So now we're just telling you about it.
Cool. Awesome. No one will ever see it.
Yeah. Anything wild happened on the road? Because you guys spent, how long were you out there for?
Four months. Yeah.
4 months.
That's insanity.
4 months.
All right. We did a tour with, it was us two and two other, the guys from Total Soccer Show, Daryl Grove.
Yep.
And Mike Madgett, a comedian out of LA.
And Taylor
Rockwell. A professional goalkeeper.
And we were six, just five of us. Five of us. And we, after 3 days, we were just
3 weeks.
Can't stand these human
beings. By the end of week one, we're all like, you go to that side of the lobby. Yeah. We go to that side.
We are down here.
And Mike, you go get a different hotel. Wi-Fi password is go fuck yourself. How about that?
I think we definitely had some moments like that. I think we're all still friends and definitely strengthened the bond. But yeah, there's definitely moments when you're just like, man, this dude fucking smells bad. There's weird habits that you're getting on your nerves.
And overall, you know, we did not have a cushy budget. So it was Chivitos and 2-bedroom Airbnbs,
nice,
easily sleeping on, you know, the same mattress together. But so that stuff got old. But
oh, there's so many.
Thankfully, there was a lot of times where, you know, not everybody was sleeping in the Airbnb because some guys on the trip were single and active, and which was fun for myself and another guy to live vicariously through.
Sure. Cooligans After Dark.
Yeah.
Cue the music.
Yeah. But Sam and I had a bond. We had an agreement. Mm-hmm. It was, so this was the 2013-2014 season in the Premier League when we're both Liverpool supporters. When they were like
Everton
going,
so get out.
Oh, wow. Sorry about that.
See you guys later.
Arsenal. Sure, I mean, yeah. I just like that I'm in the top four
for now.
Yeah, true.
So that was when we were making the charge to win the title.
Which we ended up not winning.
Yeah.
Oh no, famously.
Yeah. Very.
I don't
famously.
Think about that every day, though.
No.
Yeah, because you didn't watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you weren't there that day. Story. You broke the promise.
I did. It's all my fault.
When we were in Costa Rica, was when we beat Man City, and we were like, dude, we're gonna win the fucking league, and we need to be together every game on this trip, and it's gonna be like an extra layer of something to remember.
And I remember on social media, people were posting, "We're gonna win the league." Every Liverpool fan was like, "This is our destiny."
Totally jumped. Yeah.
Steven Gerrard's last year, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Second to last.
Yeah. Like, but they knew it was winding down. Like, everyone's like, this is gonna be legendary.
The classic. We don't let this slip. And then he slipped.
That match was the match that I missed.
Yes.
What were you doing that you missed this match?
So then, so the night before.
I like when someone goes, all right, fine, I'll tell you the truth.
So the night before, we were in Cali, Colombia, and went to. We went to this like famous salsa club there.
Yeah.
Like I don't know how to salsa dance. But,
we knew that.
I think don't worry about it. Neither of us really did.
No.
But we were, you know, having a lot of drinks, meeting some people. There was this girl we were traveling with that one of Pete's friends knew that her and I ended up hitting it off. I didn't really speak any Spanish. She didn't really speak any English, but like we were getting along.
Yeah.
And one thing led to another.
You need a translator in the bedroom.
Yeah. Exactly.
We dropped him off at one of those.
Just a lot of, Samuel.
Yeah. We dropped him off at one of those weird hotels. It's like,
I think the name of it was
Aventuras de la Noche.
That was literally the name of it.
25 pesos a la hora.
It was like pay by the hour.
Yeah. This is a Gully Squad episode, so it's got to get gully, right?
So, you know, we spend the night together. I wake up in the morning. I'm like, okay, I got to, like, figure out how to tell her, like, I need to leave to go watch this match. But my Spanish, like, it's not really working out. We're, like, getting breakfast and, like, trying to communicate with each other.
Wait. I mean, if we're going to talk about it, was a goal scored that evening?
Yes, there was.
Okay, very nice. Okay.
I mean,
Samuel.
I don't know. I hope you didn't get one past the goalkeeper. Yeah, that's all.
In 18 years, it's a little Samuel Jr.
I hope not.
Rings your doorbell? Yeah. Papa? Yeah.
Okay.
Why do I suck inside?
Every time.
Because you're American.
That's why. Every time the doorbell rings, though, Sam gets a little nervous.
I do. Like, any like foreign call, I don't know. I'm like, uh-oh, here it is.
You have a ring, an iRing, you watch the thing. All right, it's the Amazon guy. All right, we good.
But Sam shows up at the hostel.
The game's over.
The game's over.
I finally get in a cab, and luckily the cab was like, "Oh, I'm from New York. I speak English.
Oh, it's amazing.
Like Colombia." I was like, "It's great."
The cab driver was from New York.
Yeah, he was like, "I lived in New York for like 5 years, and I moved back." So,
moved back or sent back?
Yeah. I didn't ask him any.
He's like, "I'll be back."
When I'm in Dominican Republic and I meet people that lived in New York, I'm like, "Oh, you didn't come back because you wanted to. You did something really stupid back."
Yeah, nobody makes that choice on their own.
But I was like, "Yeah, here's the hostel I'm staying at." I think my phone was dead too, so I didn't really know what time it was, and ended up getting back to the hostel. And
I'm
Pete's
sitting
just
there
like
tapping my foot, like, "This is your fault.
Where have you been?" This is,
I'm not happy.
Peter's like, "We didn't win," and you're like, "I did."
You're like, "Oh, no. what a terrible turn of events."
Yeah. You're like, "By the way, I'm very relaxed." Yeah. So
like, I'm going to go chill by the pool.
Yeah.
Speaking of ladies in your lives, I did want to ask Peter, because you are dating someone who we are huge, huge fans of. You are dating dating Rachel Bonetta of Fox Sports, and she was covering the World Cup and all this other stuff. But the reason we
came up through the MLS too, she came up Toronto's like announcer, I guess, or host.
Yeah.
And the reason I want to bring her up is because she is hilarious, especially on online, on Instagram and stuff. And you are a big fodder of her, a lot of her jokes. And you get the
wrong end of the roast a lot.
I think it comes with the territory. Game for it.
Yeah, you are really chill about it.
He's a good sport.
I don't know. At least she's not like really making me look bad.
It's not disrespectful. It's like
it's fun.
It definitely polite roast. And there was a video that she had put up a couple months ago, I think maybe about a year ago, because you obviously play soccer, rec leagues and stuff like that. And she went to a game. She was out there supporting you.
Only game she ever went to.
And she did the video. If I can, I don't know where it might be on her Twitter or something like that.
I think it's a pinned tweet still.
We have to.
I know we've retweeted it. We retweeted.
Try to make sure we find it here. But it's just a great moment of her watching you play, and she basically just says. She basically just embarrassed because my boyfriend just got nutmeg. What should I do? Yep. And then a second later, she's just running away.
Running away.
She's just running away from the game. So I'm just curious, what is I'm not going to be like, what's your relationship like? Yeah. But like
TMZ, right?
but the fact that you are dating someone very much involved in soccer, and also like, I mean, we're comedians, we're fans of people who can bring humor to the game. What is that environment like, and what do you feel like she offers from at least a comedic perspective to the world of soccer?
And every time you mess up, do you just look over to see if she has a camera?
Yeah. I'm on eggshells all the time.
She
it's never a dull moment really, but she approaches the sports in general from a very like comedic standpoint. So it's always cool to get her take. And you know, she's from Canada, and now she has a job like on this TV show where she's had to learn quickly about a ton of more American sports, you know? And so I feel like I'm now the person reminding her about soccer and being like, hey, don't you forget.
Oh, sure.
You know? So I'm like, hey, Toronto FC won last week. And she's like, I know. I'm like,
don't forget where you came from. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You were raised on this milk.
But you know, at home and whatnot, no, it's like I can wake up and like the bathroom door is closed and she's recording a video and I'm like, oh, what is going on in there? You know? But it's,
is that,
you know,
for Snapchat? Or for
But yeah, you're right. And sometimes it's like, oh God, you got me on that one. Or like there's a picture of me sleeping or something. It took like a year for her to show my face on it on social media. It's just cropping it out.
But I felt like you guys weren't really open, like you weren't like public about the relationship, right?
She was just like hiding me for a while.
Yeah, sure. I would too. No offense. I would too.
Now she sees my.
If it was Samuel, I mean, maybe everybody knows.
Now she sees my value.
Yeah. In a speedo. You know?
Yeah.
Just doing keep me up at our wedding. No,
Nobody needs to see that again.
Everybody needs to see that.
I don't know if she's ever seen that. I gotta send that to her.
Yeah, you gotta shock and horror her.
Yeah.
But no offense.
Now I have value.
Not taken.
Now I'm a comedic prop, so hopefully. That doesn't change.
All right, cool. Yeah.
Maybe if it does, then.
Yeah, you must
know
be
where
flattered.
I stand.
No, All right, so let's talk about where can people see the film and how can people get it and stuff like that going forward. Like, what's the future of American football, right?
So it's on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, YouTube Movies, all those video on demand platforms. It's for rent and purchase. Give us a few months, maybe it'll be streaming on one of those fancy places. Who knows?
Okay.
But yeah, rent and purchase, and I mean, it's 96 minutes, it's the length of a soccer game. If you can sit through a soccer game, you can definitely watch this movie. It'll go quick. And on our social media, we posted like the first 3 minutes on social media, like Facebook, just to kind of drag people in.
Yeah.
And I will say, we saw this movie in the wake of U.S. not qualifying.
Right.
And it's a movie about you guys going to see the U.S. play in a World Cup. I love the way you had to re-edit it, obviously. But
yeah. Oh,
yeah. It's like, yeah, we need new voiceovers. We need a little ADR right now.
Pete was not happy about that for a lot of reasons.
But I will say, I want to give you guys credit because the way it was framed, it wasn't, I did not want to enjoy seeing this movie because I was still very upset about it. And the way it was framed and the way what you guys were able to do sort of, it gave me the opportunity to remember better times. And I thought you guys did an absolutely incredible job with that.
There's a lot of nostalgia, I think, at this point, once the wounds are healed.
But also it gives you hope for the future. It made me want to believe again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got, Go for it.
I think when we realized, okay, the U.S. didn't qualify, that's kind of a wrench in our plans. But after thinking about it, we're like, well, maybe this is more relevant than ever, to be honest.
It was a wrench in Adidas' plan, Nike's plan.
It was a wrench in our bank account. We had a deal on the table for a lot of money. And then the day that happened, the next day we got an email like, so we're going to rethink. And I'm like, no.
Yeah,
pay us
that. I mean,
we were so, we were just like, please, it's a podcast. We're trying to make this work.
Yeah. I mean, we were in the same boat. We were like, all right, what's the viability of somebody wanting to even watch this now? But, you know, we thought about it and we're like, okay, no, this is more relevant than ever in a way, because we're going there to sort of learn about these football cultures and how they can inform ours. Not just off the field, but even on the field.
But just the joy you guys had going to see the U.S., it made me want to have for that to happen again.
Absolutely.
So I think you guys, whether you know it or not, you did a service there. Was that time we saw it the first time you screened it?
That was the world premiere.
Really?
Yeah. World premiere. Because
of all people, I've seen you. You're relatively, Peter, I'm pointing at Peter if you're listening, you're a relatively calm dude. You know, your face doesn't really change much. I know when I make you laugh, but I never know if you're scared, right? But you looked like, at the end of that film, when everyone went upstairs for like the after party, I've never met you. I'd never met some of the other guys, but Pete, I've met before. We worked, you directed me in a short clip for a rival video for Copa.
Yeah.
When you were working at Copa 90. So I've met you before.
Right.
And I've never seen your face like that. Just the sense of relief and a sense of like, shit, what happens now? All in one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember, I mean, at that screening, like, I don't know. I've never had that sensation of screening something that you worked on for that long. We've made a lot of documentaries for YouTube and whatnot, and you put it up and you don't get to really know how people are reacting except for like
comments,
like terrible commenters.
Yeah.
14-year-old.
Yeah. And to have it in a theater like that full of people. And then the reaction, we were like, oh man, that's a great feeling. And definitely a huge relief. It was like, I didn't think it was that funny of a movie, but apparently it got a lot of laughs. Like,
yeah. Did you write the script? You wrote the script, right?
Yeah.
And
took forever.
But
that's why
I can't stress enough, like, for the people listening to us talk about it, the movie's really, really good. And it is very funny. And the fact that, the U.S. didn't qualify.
Right.
It added to some of the humor, and obviously it made you feel a little bit better about the U.S. not qualifying because you could laugh a little bit.
There was the ability to be a little bit self-deprecating, I think, just added another level to that film, for
right,
sure.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like we said before we came on, like the goal was never to be, it was not going to be like a travel vlog.
No.
Like, we aren't the kind of guys who are going to take,
hey, I'm here with my homies.
Exactly.
Hey guys.
I mean, and at that time, like, I mean, Snapchat, we didn't even, I don't think Instagram stories existed.
Instagram
Snapchat,
stories definitely
Snapchat
didn't.
Snapchat hardly existed.
I think Facebook Live was just becoming a thing.
Yeah, I think we tried that a couple of times, but the whole social media thing didn't really play into it. We weren't distracted by that or tempted by that.
Sure.
And the guy who shot it, and, you know, I think we say this, he's like the real talent in the group. Like, he's a phenomenal cinematographer.
He caught everything.
He just made it amazing. And for him, for 4 months of just like going down to these colorful countries and him just being able to shoot what he wanted, he just killed it and made it way easier.
He was just so good about, like, you know, I mean, going to a foreign country, you don't speak the language, you could be a little timid and not really sure what you're getting yourself into, especially when there's crazy soccer fans everywhere. But like, he never batted an eye.
Sam though, when there's a Liverpool game on, he's not timid at all.
Sam's like, all right, y'all go play, I'm gonna go smash.
I got priority. You know?
I'm gonna go slip it in.
Austin too.
Yeah.
Austin did some work.
Oh, what are some of the other clips we didn't see? He filmed
these
everything.
Guys are real good footage. Yeah.
We're doing like, you know, an hour long interview in Spanish, and only myself and Peter, who's married to an Ecuadorian, spoke Spanish.
Yeah.
So I'd look over it, Austin, and I'd be like, you framed up? And he'd be like, yeah, I'm
just
good.
Like swiping right on.
He's just like, just swipe.
Yeah. All the American football outtakes on Pornhub.com.
Yeah. As soon as
this makes
land,
it sound, this was the boys' trip.
Yeah, right?
As soon as we would land in the new country, the first thing he did when he turned on his phone, he'd be like, "All right,
yeah, and then, no, you gotta do what you gotta do." I've done comedy tours with some comedians that I'm not gonna say his name, but what he would do was he would kind of like produce these shows and put these shows in different cities, and he would go when we landed. He would go on Tinder and start inviting girls to the comedy show that he would meet on Tinder. And then occasionally, and I have a girlfriend, and then I'm in these scenarios when there's like four Tinder girls at a show after like trying to hang out with him. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know him that well, you know?
By the way, I'll tell you this. We won't say his name, and we'll never tell you his name. If you ever meet him, you'll immediately know who we're talking about. You get the sense that this is ever. I swear to God, if you ever meet this person, so you're like, ain't you the dude?
Look, whatever. I'm not going to knock anybody's hustle.
No, hey. You got to do what you got to do. Hey, so. Whatever. Filled the show. Yeah. Got to get those asses in the seats.
It didn't distract us, though, on the road.
You can tell from the film. It's very, very good.
I have a question for you guys. Being, you know, two guys of Latino descent.
Yeah.
You know, one of the main goals of the film was to be able to translate the passion for soccer in Latin America for other audience, like in the United States, to be able to connect more and spread awareness of where this passion for the game comes from, you know. And I think one of the things that caused us to really think about it that way was the lack of representation of Hispanic Americans in our national teams, and why, like, why can't we get these guys? Like, where is the chink in the chain to be able to, for them not representing the country? You guys, like, how do you feel when you watch the national team and you don't see anybody who's like, an equal representation?
It probably doesn't equate to what our percentage of the population is, for sure.
Exactly.
But I think of things from two perspectives. For me, it's like being someone who's from, like, you know, inner city, and being from Newark, I don't see enough like that representation, whether it be, you know, Caribbean, Latin, Black, anything. There's just, for the lack of a better term, no one speaks. This is why we started Cooligans. No one in the American soccer industry, whether it's player down to like this, no one really ever spoke the way we spoke. Mm-hmm. No one ever sounded the way we sounded. No one ever listened to the music we listened to. Mm-hmm. None of the people that were announcers did. And I've always said it's very sterile. It's very suburban and white. Mm-hmm. And that's not a knock on them. They should be doing that, but there should also be other people. So when I watched the game and guys like Eddie Johnson were like the last dude to be like, nah, I'm a little rough around the edges where I come from. That's the last person that I would look at and go, okay, I would have had a shot. So just being Latino and not seeing enough Latinos, I'm like, where does this come from? Now that we've done this long enough, we're like, there's one U.S. scout, and it's Thomas Roningen. It was a great dude, but if he walks into my house when I'm growing up, my mother's like, "Gang of heck there."
how's he gonna relate to
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And it's not, I'm so not saying true. You need to go out and get a Cuban guy and go out and get a Uruguayan guy and go out and get a Dominican guy. You don't need to
I'm
do that.
I'm saying that. I'm saying all those things.
If you do, we're available. All right? And I'll take both of them putting paychecks. But what I'm saying is like, you see it and you're like, this somewhere down the line, those players aren't viewing the American team as a viable option. And that's where the failure is.
Yeah. Right. And to add to that, the issues that we see with the Mexican players that have dual nationalities that can play for both and they choose to play for Mexico.
Right.
I think at the very least, the U.S. men's national team is not really ever going to say we're better than the Mexican national team. They can't. Right. That's not. Right. They can pitch themselves, but they can at the very least sell something bigger about the country, about what a Mexican American player playing for the U.S. men's national team could possibly mean, and players have done it, and so that losing potential talent to Mexico over and over is a bad sign for how soccer is sort of viewed in the country, and how Mexicans are viewed in the country, and like how Hispanic people are treated, and how we hear about immigrants and all this other stuff. So and I'll give you guys credit, because I think when I started watching the film, and the fact that the four people involved or five were not Hispanic people, I'm like obviously a little skeptical of like what is this going to be. But after during and after the film, I was like, these guys did a tremendous service to American people trying to get to know more about football culture in these countries.
Yeah. I don't think you guys might not have viewed yourselves as sort of the representation of the average American in Latin America, but you were watching you guys have those awe moments and, you know, amazing moments. And I think the blind soccer thing was probably something that if you watch it again, like a second time, you'd be like, wait a minute, soccer's so important that they have blind people want to play. Like, blind people here are just like, yo, we would love to be able to get off the subway. You know what I mean? Bumping into something. Like, you know what I mean? Because the systems aren't built for them here, and they love it so much they want to play the game. Watching you guys sort of go through those things, and even though you lived in Colombia, you know, you still have moments where you're like, oh, man, soccer is bigger here. It's more important here. That's the average American is you in those moments. You know what I mean? And I think it's a great opportunity. Yeah, people should watch this film because it's absolutely incredible, and it is not just a boys' trip. You know, it's you guys really learning about soccer at a different level than we have it here.
Absolutely. The goal is really, you know, what we want to happen. If even one person does this, I would feel like we made an impact. But it's like, if you watch it and you are in a bar watching Liverpool and, you know, there's a guy there who's, you know, has an Ecuador shirt on or something, or is wearing like a, what's a good team?
Like Emelec.
Barcelona. And you're like, hey, you're from Ecuador. And then just because you watch this film, you have an actual conversation to start with that person.
Right. Sure.
That's all it takes. Like, inclusion and diversity are buzzwords these days. But like, I feel like the real act of that is just starting a conversation, making that person feel like
absolutely
included in what you're doing. And then that guy has a kid who's really good at soccer and he feels included in the community. Sure, and he's like, okay, I'm a part of this. I will represent this country.
I think overall, that's kind of what we want people to take away. You don't have to be even a football or soccer fan to like it. One of the cooler stories we have, I think, that was really rewarding for us as producers who created the film, when we came out with the web series, we were getting emails from all these teachers saying,
Spanish teachers,
hey, I've been using your episodes to teach my Spanish students about Latin America, and they love
it.
And they would send us emails of like the kids writing notes about how it was really cool, and they learned a lot, not just about soccer, but like looking at whatever culture we were highlighting, because it's such a great lens to look at culture. I mean, what else do you have that's that ubiquitous? I mean, you got like food and maybe dance.
We get messages from teachers that are like, my students can't stop saying my guy.
We had a teacher saying, I think I've been listening to Cooligans too much because my students walk in going, what's up, my guy, to the teacher.
And that brings a tear to you.
It does to us, but we're ruining America. That's how we're trying.
So guys, let people know exactly again where they can watch it. Any social media you guys want to let people know to follow, or personal, the film and stuff like that?
So American Football on iTunes, it'll pop up, nice big yellow, cool looking thumbnail.
Yeah.
F-U-T-B-O-L.
F-U-T-B-O-L. If you're real fancy, you can put that little accent mark on the U.
But nice.
And then we're on, you know, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, American Football. I think on Twitter we're Football Movie.
Okay.
Somebody's got American Football, hasn't tweeted since 2012. I DM him every day.
Yeah.
He won't
very
fucking give it up.
I can't get my Instagram. I want Chris Polanco on Instagram. And Polanco is like a Mexican. There's a city in Mexico. It's a city in Spain and all that stuff. So I don't know where he's from. He has it private. Hasn't posted anything in like 5 years, and I can't get it.
Yeah.
I message him. What's up, Chris Polanco? What's your deal, man? You watching this?
I can't get Huge Dick Alexis, and I've been trying.
The guy knows you're lying.
Yeah. It's more of a personality trait, actually. I'm not talking about my penis.
Anyway, you guys, thank you so much for joining us on the show. So we'll wrap up as we usually do. So for Peter Carl, for Sam...
Matthias.
That's, I'm remembering.
Matthias. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!